News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
The West Cork Literary Festival begins tomorrow. One author attending is Irving Welsh, author of Trainspotting. I caught up with him a little earlier. I began by asking him if he was looking forward to returning to Ireland.
I'm really looking forward to it because I'm doing an event with my old pal, Emer Martin. So, yeah, I mean, it's always a pleasure to hook up with Emer.
Yeah, you're going to be in Bantry in the Maritime Hotel on Sunday evening. I'm sure there'll be a big crowd for that. You're no stranger to this country, though. I mean, you spent a number of years living here, in fact.
Yeah, it's the West Cork Literary Festival, which I'm really looking forward to because I'm doing an event with my old pal, Emer Martin. And it's always a pleasure to hook up with Emer.
Yeah, you're going to be in Bantry in the Maritime Hotel on Sunday evening. I'm sure there'll be a big crowd for that. You're no stranger to this country, though. I mean, you spent a number of years living here, in fact.
Yeah, I mean, I'm back quite a lot. I was back just the other week there in Wicklow for the Beyond the Pale Festival. And about a month ago, I was over in Dublin doing a chat about 30 years of train spotting in Liberty Hall. So I'm over quite a lot, basically.
Irving, we actually have something in common. I wish I could say that we both wrote the book that defined a generation, but unfortunately that's only you. The thing we do have in common, though, is we're both fans of Bohemian FC.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that I miss most about Dublin is both on a Friday night at the bar under the Jody Stand. Like, it's always great fun.
Now, you have a new book out there, Resolution. I think it's the third in that crime series, the acclaimed crime series.
It's the third book, yeah. And hopefully we'll get another season out of it on TV as well. So that's, you know, we're trying to get things tied up with that. So, yeah.
The TV series, of course, Dougray Scott is starring in it. It's a fantastic watch. Watched the first season not that long ago. I was reading an interview you gave, I think it was with The Guardian recently, where you were talking about reading, and you said if reading gives you comfort, you're obviously not doing it right. And it struck me that the crime series isn't an easy read. It's not one you get comfort from or an easy watch. Is it an easy write?
Yeah, it's great fun to write. Like, you know, because the great thing about writing a book is that you're lost in the subconscious realm of it. You know, you're not really sort of consciously thinking about what's going on, really. And, you know, it's like then when you look back at it, it becomes a bit, it can get a bit harrowing in parts when you reread what you've written. But by that time, it's almost like somebody else has been the bad guy. You know, it's been your subconscious, so you can't really, it kind of absolves you from any blame, basically.
You've never shied away, and I do want to ask you about Trainspotting in a minute, but you've never shied away from writing about the darker side of life.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think you have to. I mean, I like a book with plenty of drama in it, and I think that drama happens when things go wrong, when it's conflict between people, and often conflicts are kind of, you know, they're not that particularly. They're not that particularly beautiful in a lot of ways, but you do get a lot of, they do generate a lot of stories. So that's what I tend to focus on. I tend to focus on when things aren't going well for characters.
Ray Lennox, the central character in the crime series, obviously in the latest novel, Resolution. In this new book, he's outside his traditional home of Edinburgh for this, or is he drawn back into Edinburgh?
Well, he's drawn back to an extent, but he is mainly outside his traditional comfort zone. He's in Brighton, down the south coast of England, and that's where he's sort of made his home, basically. And he seems to be having a much easier time and quite a good life, or at least he does for about, I think it's 20 pages. He's a heart supporter as well, so I mean, it's like kind of. I think I was quite good at giving him 20 pages before it all went terrible.
I should tell the listeners, you, of course, are a very passionate Hibs or Hibernian fan. The Hibernian rivals of local rivals of Hearts. Can I ask you about Trainspotting? I mean, sometimes when I interview a famous author, I kind of cringe, and I wonder, do they cringe when you ask them about a particular book? Do you get tired talking about Trainspotting?
Yeah, every time I feel a bit fatigued about it, I just think of the royalty checks coming in twice every year, and then I kind of I buck up my ideas a little bit. But the thing is, it's like the interesting thing about it is that a new generation seem to discover it every few years. So it's like so it becomes kind of permanently like a new book, really. So you do have to talk about it because it's got a whole new audience every 5 or 6 years. Yeah,
I love how honest you are about it. Look, it obviously changed your life because it was, as we said earlier, was the book of a generation. And of course, when the film came out, it was a massive hit. Was it strange being catapulted into that space?
Yes, in a way, because it's something that you're never really quite ready for, you know. I mean, I was convinced that it was going to be in the 1980s, I was convinced that it was going to be a sort of a music superstar, kind of rock and roll superstar, and that never happened, obviously. So I thought my chance had gone for any kind of success. Had gone then. It happened when I least expected it, really. I didn't expect the book would have the kind of profile it did. So it sort of it took me by surprise, really. I just taken my eye off kind of bracing myself for something to happen, and then suddenly it did, you know, when I didn't really expect it. So yeah, it did take a bit of getting used to.
Did I read somewhere that you were looking or working on a musical adaptation of Trainspotting? Is that something that's in the pipeline?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we've written a lot of new songs for it, and we're really just looking for a theatre now. We've got the show kind of lined up and ready to go. You know, we've got to do some work on the staging and all that, but as soon as we find a suitable theatre, we'll be off with it.
You have a lot of irons in the fire, quite clearly. Are you a restless kind of soul? Because I know you've also set up a music label. You're hugely prolific when it comes to writing, be it for screen or on paper. Are you a bit of a workaholic when it comes to writing?
Yeah, it's funny because when I was an employee and worked for other people, I was very lazy and work shy. And now I'm kind of, now that I work for myself, I'm kind of completely driven, and it's but I don't regard it as work, really. I just regard it as kind of play and leisure. I mean, I've always think that of myself as having retired 30 years ago, you know, so I've just been on a long retirement since then, and I'm just pursuing my hobbies and interests, which are kind of music and writing and you know, all the good things that we like, you know. So so I've had a charmed life, I suppose, in the last 30 years.
Yeah, it's a nice way of looking at it. Can I ask you just a couple of things before I let you go? Obviously, we had the general election in the UK last week. I know you're a passionate advocate of Scottish independence. Given the poor performance of the Scottish National Party in that election, where do you think Scottish independence is at right now?
It's in a strange place, really, because, you know, it's like I think a lot of people that were in the Yes movement, the pro-independence movement, we're never really kind of natural SNP supporters. I mean, I don't think, you know, it was much more than the SNP. And I think that a lot of people feel that, well, they've had their chance. And I think that, the Labour Party's got a problem in Scotland that 40% of their voters believe in Scottish independence. So I think what will happen again is that further devolution will be on the cards, and I think that's the way that the pro Scottish independence people are thinking now, like, you know, sort of move back into the Labour Party, be an advocacy group for further devolution within the Labour Party. And I think if you combine the independent supporters in the Labour Party of 40% and the ones who want more devolution, which is about 20%, and that's the majority, you know, the unionist minority in the Labour Party now, a status quo minority in the Labour Party now. So I think that will be the next thing that will happen. And I think that Starmer doesn't need the Scottish votes now, but he will need the Scottish votes in 5 years' time, because the Tories will regroup with Reform and it'll be a very different election. So you'll need the support more then. So I think what will happen is that there'll be a lot more pressure for devolution, further powers of devolution, and probably the full push towards independence might happen in 5 years' time. But I think that they might have a much more militant SNP who will say that if we get a mandate in the Scottish elections in 2026, then that we take that as a mandate for independence, and we'll hold a Catalan-style referendum if Westminster won't let us have a referendum. So I think that's another route as well. I think that what will happen is that I think that the SNP will have to come back more militant if they're going to make any inroads at all. But I think that to head off at the steam, Labour are going to have to do something in devolution, basically, before 2026. So it's an interesting time. It's never, you know, it's like now there are more people that are pro-independence than ever. So it's never gone away, and it's never going to go away either. It's kind of ossified as the main sort of schism in Scottish politics.
Do you think there'll be an independent Scotland in your lifetime?
I don't think it's so much the end of an independent Scotland. I think it's more the end of Britain. I think all the things that are holding Britain together are just weakening further and further every year. And I think that it's going to be very hard to justify a cohesive Britain. I mean, it's like now you're seeing the Tories wiped out in Cornwall, wiped out in Wales. I think that the expectations, the pressure on the Labour Party to deliver for all those nations and regions is going to be quite intense. And I think the mayors of the English regions are going to want more power as well. So it's an interesting time ahead. I think it just pushes the debate off in a different direction, but it's essentially the same debate. And I don't think it's going anywhere. I mean, I can see if anything happened on Irish unification, I could see that being a further catalyst for Scottish independence.
Yeah, that was the author Irving Welsh, who will be at the West Cork Literary Festival in Bantry 6:30 on Sunday at the Maritime Hotel alongside Emer Martin there. The festival opens on Friday. There is a longer version of that interview that will go up on the News Talk app, including we'll hear Irving's views on the SNP's performance and the future of Scottish independence. He's very, because he's a passionate advocate of Scottish independence. So interesting. So do check that out, that longer
he's
interview.
Interesting in general. You're not wrong about Trainspotting being, I think, a book of a generation. I think the 90s was almost defined by both the book and the film.
Amazing book and amazing film.
I can still picture the toilet in my
the
mind.
The worst toilet in all of Scotland.
Oh, man. Anyway, look at
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.